First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's...
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. And we will be updating the website over the next day or two. As most of our regular listeners know, I've been suffering from a few health issues lately, little Meniere's disease, things like that. But anyway, looks like we're finally starting to get just a little bit ahead. So we're going to be able to start getting back on the website and focusing on that and getting you up to date. But good enough, though, we've got the show. If you guys are listening out there, 858-683-1326. Or 502-805-0334 are the numbers. For those of you in a listening queue, and there's always quite a few of you, we appreciate it. And, you know, thank you, and press the number 1 on your dial pad if you want to be heard on air. Dale the Truth will join us in just a moment. From what I understand, his Blog Talk page was loading up, and for some reason it's not showing his Skype link, so I'm sure he'll get it fixed in a second. He'll either Skype us, or he'll call in on the phone, because you know Dale the Truth don't like to miss his radio time. So with that being said, let's move forward. Big story of the day in Louisville. Councilman David James. Everybody knows and has known for a long time about the situation with Jim King and his thirst and lust for power in Louisville. And he has bought and paid for just about anybody you can think of. He is one of the targets of the FBI investigation, though no one will confirm that. You know, so we've got a lot of things going on. Well, lo and behold, Jim King just was able to work with his good friend Mike O'Connell and tell David James that he can't hold a Metro Council position and a University of Louisville position as an officer for them. Says there's a state statute that will not allow that to happen because David James had to take two oaths, and he is recommending that James not be allowed to vote on any Metro Council business until this issue is resolved, basically resigning his job with U of L. Now, let me tell you, folks, Jim King has been after David James for quite some time behind the scenes. He has done anything and everything he can possibly think of to do to get David James out of office. and to force him into compliance because David James will not carry Jim King's water. That is the truth. For whatever reason, there has been a major falling out between these two Democrat council people. The problem is, and this is where I've got a problem, is once again, you've got the county attorney's office in Jim King's case, the Commonwealth attorney, your former Commonwealth attorney, Dave Stengel, who is now trying to actively run for office again. Dave Stengel has been a major thorn in his side and carried Jim King's water through the state legal ways here in Jefferson County. And now we've got Michael Connell doing the same thing with Jim King, carrying his water, trying to help him get rid of a political foe. Why is that? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. But unfortunately, most of the public will never know. How can someone tell David James he doesn't have the right to earn a living and be on the Metro Council when the Metro Council is a part-time job? His position as an officer should mean nothing. Welcome, Dale. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. It took me a while to get logged in. I guess the third browser's the charm. How are you?
Oh, man, I know. I tell you what. It's been a problem for a while, for the last few days anyway. I think we've got the technical end worked out with the sound. It was good last night, finally, so we'll see how that one works.
I tried to log in with Safari, and it told me the extension wasn't there or whatever, which has never been a problem. And I tried to log in with Firefox, and it wouldn't let me in. So finally, I tried Opera, and like I said, I got in. So there you go.
That's weird. I use Firefox for this show. That's what I use. And, you know, it's usually not that much of a problem.
No, I mean, it's usually pretty good. I mean, you know, I refuse to use Internet Explorer or Google Chrome, but we haven't got to do a Wednesday night show in a few weeks together.
Yeah, I know, man. I appreciate you covering last week.
Last week was when we could do a show, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right. My fault.
It was Blog Talk Errors last Wednesday, keeping us out the air in a black helicopter, so that's something.
You're right. I completely gaffed. But, you know, this whole thing with Michael Connell trying to carry Jim King's water and take David James out, you know, this is exactly what we continue talking about with the Democratic politics, the mafia-style politics, if you will, right here in Jefferson County. You know, Louisville has turned into mini Chicago when it comes to politics, and that's why we get left so far behind. Would you agree?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, mini Chicago in the way that the Democratic mafia runs it, mini Chicago in the violence out in the West End, and I guess they want to be like the godfather, Rahm Emanuel. They want to be like New World Order Rahm himself. They want the highest taxes in the land here, so they must really be trying to be just like Chicago.
Well, it really seems that way, especially when you have a county judge working with a Metro Council president who is crooked as hell, in my opinion, and I've proved it many ways. You know, but it's interesting. What I really liked was Michael Connell actually lying to the media. You know, David James was elected in his own right in 2010. That was his first election. You know, he was elected in his own right in 2010. So 4 years later, he's still doing the same job at U of L he's been doing since he left the Kentucky Bureau of Investigation. He's an officer, you know, with the University of Louisville Police Department. But 4 years later, all of a sudden, this isn't acceptable that he's violating the state constitution, and Michael Connell is telling the media and everybody else, well, you know, I didn't know about this till a month ago when it was brought to my attention that David James was doing it. That's garbage. The guy's had a job.
Well, I mean, we've gone back and forth. I mean, you're way up on this local stuff. You know, I'm more into the state and the national and the global stuff. But I mean, the problem is, I think you correct me if I'm way off with this, Ed, but you've actually complimented McConnell in the past for some things, right?
I have complimented O'Connell in a position he was at with the judges and not being able to get justice there.
Okay.
There's at least one situation, yes.
Now, that's what I was trying to remember. Michael O'Connell is the county attorney. I remember you had come to his defense at least once on an occasion, so I guess I was going to find out if the answer to keep his feet to the fire and see if he will do a mea culpa on this, or do you start looking to endorse his Democrat opponent, Karen Faulkner?
Well, I'm not endorsing anybody yet, but I'll tell you this right now. You know, I'm not going to endorse anybody just yet because I still want to know more about Karen Faulkner. I haven't done due diligence, but I will tell you this. If she has any credibility at all, I don't care if she's just graduated out of law school with a 4.0. If she has any credibility at all, you can bet your butt we're going to have a major problem with dealing with Mike Connell, because I will go after Connell.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know what she looks like yet, but this is ridiculous. I've had my own problems with Mike Connell. I had to do an end run around when I went after Jim King. to get a special prosecutor, I intentionally had to wait until he was out of town on vacation and use one of his subordinates to file the paperwork because he refused to do it. So I just went in blind and acted dumb, and they followed through with their job. So it all worked out quite well. So, you know, but yeah, Michael Connell to me has always been nothing but a Democratic hack scum. But when you're out there, you know, carrying the water for a political ally like Jim King, you know, they say who you hang around with, you know, says a lot about your character. Well, you know, Jim King is very shady in his own right and always has been. Michael Connell has always been shady in his own right and always has been. And since Jim King has a personal problem with David James because he won't carry his water, now he's going to go after this and do this. I just find it very interesting. You check the story, guys. I believe WDRB, you can go to WDRB.com. I believe they've got this story, you know. So you can go read the whole story on that. As a matter of fact, I think it's their exclusive. So you should be able to read the whole story there.
Remember, Ed, your good friend Jim King said in the Courier Journal this week that you guys better be careful because there's some real harm being done when you do something bad to a person's good name.
Yeah. Person's good name. He wouldn't know what a good name was. But, you know, that's me. Anyway, we do have other things going on, believe it or not. That's just a breaking story that happened this afternoon. I wanted to make sure we got in there. You know, we've been talking for a long time, too, Dale, about the Louisville Water Company and MSD merger that they swear isn't going to happen. However, the Louisville Water Company Board of Directors yesterday approved an agreement to consolidate more of their operations with MSD. Through the consolidation, they believe they're going to save $100 million over 10 years. It's very fascinating for me because the Louisville Water Company is owned lock, stock, and barrel by Louisville, and they use that as one of those illegal taxes that our good friends over at Stop It talk about all the time. They keep raising rates on that, and it's all free money to Louisville. So, you know, that's interesting to me that now they're going to start doing this. And I told everybody a few years ago this was the intent. They start with a little consolidation. They're going to turn it into one big corporation. They're going to put MSD under the auspices of the Louisville Water Company so that they can shield MSD at all costs from rate hikes and everything else. I believe this is what's starting. Do you agree?
Well, I can't disagree with it. I mean, Paul's been talking about the water company and the MSD for a long time. There's so much corruption there, I guess. Again, that's what happens when you have one party rule, and we're not even talking about the uniparty. We're just talking about strict old KKK Democrat Party hacks in this state, and they've run this thing lock, stock, and barrel for so long. I mean, just think if you had some real true opposition that had the balls to stand up to them or a mainstream press that would go after them, because this stuff never gets reported there.
Well, you're absolutely right. And the amazing thing is nobody pays attention to. This is just more of the same because Mayor Greg Fisher, the mayor of Louisville, is the one who appoints every member of all the boards, period. MSD, water company, all of them. So we've got some serious issues here that we need to start looking at. They've created this thing called Louisville's One Water Concept. And essentially, both utilities are going to hire a transition coordinator. That's always a good sign that you're looking to combine your business, not combine processes in your business, but looking forward to finding a way to join them together as one, and we're just going to be stuck. That's all there is to it. You know, so we've got a lot of things going on with that. We've got to start paying attention to that. One of the things I know you're paying attention to, and I'd really like to get your opinion on, you know, we had this thing with the Kentucky Senate late last week, or last week, I should say. They finally started talking about a constitutional amendment that was going to restore voting rights for most ex-felons. And what I understand, the House got it after the Senate got it done, and all of a sudden now they want a 5-year waiting period. Have you got any updates on that?
Well, I mean, I haven't heard any new news about it. I mean, I know that Rand Paul wasn't too happy with him wanting to water down his idea for a bill because that's what they do, and it amazes me from what I've seen is the Democrats wanting to water it down, and they're supposed to be for the downtrodden. We always hear about how racist the city is, and that's why blacks commit more crimes, because we're racist. And again, if they're so worried about that, why don't they want the minorities and the folks who have been convicted felons, why don't the Democrats want them to vote? I guess they'd rather get the dead vote than the illegal vote. I guess they don't want the reformed criminal vote. I don't know.
Well, you know, and I don't either. You know, as far as I'm concerned, once you served your time and you served your probation, What I don't understand is the five-year waiting period that these Democrats now want, because you're just adding five more years onto somebody who's already done their time. I know Senator Paul had spoke in front of the Kentucky Senate in favor of restoring of automatic restoration of felons' rights, voting rights, and well, the rights in general, once they had completed probation. You know, which
I mean, my thing
end.
About it is if you serve your time, Ed, I get that a lot of people are mad at the system, but that's not the felon's fault. Yeah, we can go way back and try to put the genie in the bottle when he won't fit, and we can say the felon should not have committed their felonies, especially if they're violent crimes. But if they've served whatever sentence that the system has handed them, then why do we still want to punish them after they've already served the sentence? That's the problem that people should have with the system, not with the felon.
Well, you know, in my opinion, and we've always talked about this and agreed on it, but in my opinion, you know, for me, constitutionally, there's this thing called double jeopardy.
Yep.
You know, you can't be charged with the same crime twice. So in my opinion, when you can't be charged with the same crime twice, you can't pay for the same crime twice. So in my opinion, if we were looking at it from that aspect, you know, once you've served your time in prison, the court has said, okay, you get 10 years in prison and 5 years probation. At the end of that probation period, because that's still part of your sentence, at the end of that probation period, automatic restoration should be there. But instead, you know, you've got felons that can't get their voting, or they can't get their voting rights, can't get their gun rights, they can't get any rights for the rest of their life. So that's double. So basically, you're paying twice for the same crime.
Yeah, and what about the bar to become a felon has become so low now that almost anybody can be guilty. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to commit a felony. So, again, you have some people out there, they want to look like they're tough on crime, and some of them are neocons, and some of them are afraid that the neocons will get the minorities and those who have been downtrodden to vote for them, so they don't want it for their reason. They all got their own reasons, but if you're dead to society has been repaid in full, again, there's no reason to further punish them. If it hasn't been repaid, then they shouldn't be out of prison and obviously shouldn't be voting.
Well, and I totally agree with you there. So, I mean, you know, that's the thing. So I don't know what the final version was going to be. I didn't find any updates today, and I know that's one you can follow.
I haven't had a chance to read anything new that might have come down in the last few hours.
Okay. That's what I didn't know. I just wanted to double check and follow up with you on that because I thought it was pretty interesting. You know, we've got all kinds of other things going on. you know, I tell you, when we get into some of the discussions we have, one of the discussions we need to have is Matt Bevin right now. And I tell you why. Senator Rand Paul has went public with this. You know, that there's a problem that Matt Bevin's credibility was damaged because he signed a letter crediting the 2008 federal bank bailout when he was this mutual fund that he founded. He was thanking the federal government essentially for the federal bank bailout, and yet he's chosen to go after Mitch McConnell for voting to approve the bailout. So Rand Paul is now saying that, you know, that's really kind of a hypocritical thing, and it damages Matt Bevin's credibility. And quite honestly, that's one of the first things I pointed out a long time ago when Bevin announced his candidacy. Do you think this is really resonating with anybody, or anybody really cares?
I don't know at this point if they do or not. I thought you were going to ask me what I thought about the issue. I tend to disagree with you about it being a problem with Matt Bevin, because all the issues that he dealt with his business, we've kind of been over ad nauseum. But number one, there were state loans that he was dealing with, not federal bailouts. And number two, he's one small cog in a wheel of a company that he took over after they had already gotten in trouble. So I'm not sure why Rand would come out with that statement about Matt Bevin's credibility, because you would like to think that Rand would just keep his mouth shut since this is a primary. And again, we didn't like it when the neocons got involved in the primaries before when it hurt us. So I guess my biggest concern is why Rand is saying something unless his, whatever you call it, nephew-in-law, Jesse Benton, has come back around him and threaten him somehow and say, oh, McConnell needs you to do this and this and this, or he's not going to help you become president. I'm just concerned about the strange bedfellows of it all, because I know a lot of people who would work their asses off for Rand Paul to become president if he wasn't so close to Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr.
Well, I think a lot of it, though, too, has to do with, I mean, in all honesty, in my opinion, Matt Bevin has really done a lot to hurt his credibility on his own with that, because he's never really fully addressed the money that he took, you know, for Bevin Bell when Bevin Bell burned down. You know, but more importantly, the Veracity Funds was the mutual fund that he founded. And, you know, he praised the TARP program. You know, and that's the problem. I think that that's the link that's a problem for me, because he signed a report to investors in October 2008 praising the TARP funds, the federal bailout. But he said he shouldn't be called a bailout, you know, but he praised the TARP funds and praised everybody for approving them. And then he's going on record now and saying that, you know, well, you know, Mitch McConnell approved this bailout, the same bailout that he agreed with when he was leading Veracity Funds and in charge of Veracity Funds.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is, it just makes it look, you know, it just makes it look bad. I don't think that Matt Bevin is intentionally doing anything wrong here, but I think it makes it look bad. And the fact that Matt Bevin is really doing some bad things in this campaign, he's getting bad advice, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
No, I would agree with
and
you.
And that's not
typical
of Matt Bevin.
Yeah.
I mean, it, you know, go ahead.
No, I think I would agree with you that he might be getting some bad advice. Now, the problem is I hear these neocon hack commercials, and I don't know if it's McConnell's Goldman Sachs, Chase, Manhattan, Visa, Citibank people backing his big money who get these commercials on the airwaves, or I don't know if it's the Republican Party of Kentucky illegally funding these commercials. I don't listen for the end of them, but I hear these commercials on talk radio where, you know, Matt Bevin's got some commercials out there on talk radio, and so does Mitch. And Mitch's commercials, once again, Mitch has nothing to offer in 30 years, so he says, bail out Bevin. You voted for this bailout. How can you attack a challenger who it's still iffy whether he's truly related to the bailout, because we're arguing about it here, so it's not something that's settled. It's not something that's undebatable. But yet McConnell was the king of the bailout. So how can he then put an ad out saying, "Oh, you're bailout Bevin"? To me, the Republican voters in the primary are the ones that lose, because do you really think that if McConnell wins this primary, he's going to say, "Wow, after I took on Bevin and called him bailout Bevin, I saw I was wrong for being for the bailout"? He's never going to do that.
Well, no, he's not. You know, and you're right. I mean, you know, they're spending a lot of money trying to make Matt Bevin look like a hypocrite. But there are some situations, though, and this is one of them. This is where Matt Bevin needs to loosen up the tie, loosen up the sweater that he ties around his front like a Connecticut yuppie, whatever, and get down to grassroots and just talk open and honest instead of, you know, talking in circles or anything else. He's starting to sound like a candidate and acting like a candidate instead of acting like somebody who really wants change, and that's been the problem from the very beginning. His handlers, I would love to run his campaign right now. His handlers need to do a better job, but unfortunately, they're playing the Mitch McConnell game, and that's what's killing them. And, you know, we talk about money being spent, too. I mean, if you go to the Arnoldtown area or out here in the Southwest, you know, it seemed like there was 1,000 signs put out, big signs with Mitch McConnell's face on it that says, "Retire Mitch." Those, of course, were put out on Matt Bevin's behalf from some national
Tea
Party
groups.
No,
they were put out by FreedomWorks. They weren't put out by
Matt Bevin. Well, I know, but they put them out on Matt Bevin's behalf. I mean, let's face facts, they're the only two running there. But the thing is, I mean, you know, of course, those signs were illegal, and they've been removed now. You know, so, I mean, both sides are doing stupid things, but I just find it incredible that, you know, all of these things are taking root. It's just a weird situation. It really is. Because I think that Matt Bevin is a good guy overall. I really do. It's not that I don't like Matt Bevin. I actually listen to him, and I think he's a pretty good guy. I just don't like the fact that here's a first-time candidate going out there trying to act like he's a 20-year incumbent like Mitch McConnell, and that's what's killing him. We don't want that out of those guys.
It showed you how worried McConnell was. We talked about this a month ago. Why in the world is this guy so insignificant? It kind of reminds me of anybody liberty-related in the Republican Party or anybody libertarian running outside the Republican Party. They got this double standard. The Republican establishment has this hypocritical stance. On one side of the coin, they say, "Oh, they're nobody. They're a fringe candidate. They're a teabagger. They're a hack."
Right.
They call them all these names. Well, then why wouldn't you just ignore them? Because we've always been told if you want somebody to go away, don't give them attention. Just ignore them. But as soon as he even thought about being a candidate, McConnell's snake handlers were out getting all the information they could. I mean, I know people who have worked for McConnell before, and they told me that their entire job when they were employed by McConnell was to dig up all the dirt they could on other candidates because McConnell didn't have the balls to take a stand on anything himself.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. I have no doubt about that. That would not surprise me.
Trying to get the word out. Bevin doesn't have the Goldman Sachs, Citibank, Chase Manhattan, Visa money that McConnell, I mean, that's who his top donors are. Look at McConnell's donors. So well, Bevin doesn't have that money. And then people say, well, why isn't Bevin defending this thing about the bailout? Well, because Bevin, and with what little money he has, is trying to talk to people about things that McConnell doesn't want to talk about, like civil liberties and education and the Second Amendment.
And another problem Matt Bevin is doing, too, is spending what little money he has on stupid stuff like TV or Clear Channel Radio, where less than 5% of the people there are voters, when he should be spending it right here, because you guys are the best audience in the world, and every one of you guys are voters. You've told us that in our essay or in our questions. So, you know, that's what I don't get either. So he's not even reaching the voters. But, you know, it just is an interesting contrast. I think that there's going to have to be a lot done in a short amount of time, but I think the first thing Matt Bevin needs to do is go back to being the businessman that he is, fire the staff he's got right now, and open up a new window, because this one just ain't working. Moving on, we've got some other things in Louisville. We've got a story that came out late last week. It's an ambitious plan to improve Louisville's health ranking by 2020. Now, this is what they're recommending. This is crazy. Banning sales of hookah products and e-cigarettes, mainly to minors. They're going to work on curbing trans fats in local foods. Remember 20 years ago when they told us trans fats were great for us, and now they're not anymore. They want to expand outdoor smoke-free areas, and then they want to stop you from letting your car idle on poor air quality days. This is just some of the stuff that they're doing between the health department and the mayor's office. You know, this is just one more example of government overstepping and taking away free choice, isn't it?
I agree. I mean, the city of Louisville is pretty desperate, I guess. I mean, this is what happens when you got people like Greg Fisher as the mayor, and nobody credible is challenging the guy. You can't tell me that all the Democrats endorse this guy. You can't tell me he has 100% approval rating, but yet they're able to keep any credible opponent from either Democrat or Republican side for filing against him. So I guess he figures he's got a mandate and he can do whatever he wants with this big, big government nanny system. And to me, these things aren't things that are harming anybody. I don't see where if you choose to take part of a trans fat or you want to use some kind of device that's supposedly tied to something that might be illegal, you're not harming anybody. So it's just more Louisville wanting to be the nanny state.
Well, let's get Paul in here. I knew we'd perk his interest when we started talking about all the other stuff. Hello, Paul. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Hey, listen. The nanny state is, in fact, responsible for the very same problems that they claim they want to fix.
Yep,
if
right.
People weren't so stressed out from having to meet bills and pay exorbitant amounts of taxes on everything, both visible and all those hidden taxes,
yep,
they wouldn't be stressed out, and they would be able to afford to eat good, healthy foods and
yep,
have regular exercise time, quality time, if you will, with other human beings. But the way the system is designed, these people that are in charge, they claim they want to help us, but yet all they do is make sure that the problem never gets solved so that they maintain control.
Oh, I totally agree, and we've got some other examples too. Because part of this, these recommendations, they now want to monitor your body mass index through school physicals, and they also want to change zoning so that they can control the density of fast food restaurants anywhere in Louisville. So you know, so they want to be able to tell a business, you know, there's a McDonald's on this corner, so you have to build a Burger King 5 miles away. We don't want two fast food restaurants in the same place and let the market dictate free choice. Well, I don't like McDonald's. I like Burger King. So now I've got to drive 5 miles to Burger King, but I can't drive 5 miles to Burger King because there's three red lights, and I might have to turn my car off because it might idle too long. And then when I go to start it, it doesn't start. So now I've got to call a cop and waste resources. I've got to call a wrecker and waste resources. And, oh, by the way, I was so stressed out because my car didn't start. I had a heart attack. Now I've got to have an ambulance. I mean, this thing is just so stupid.
Be careful with an ambulance because, as you know, there's a cop in the ambulance. You better not do anything to offend him because he'll go all bacon on your ass. And it's
well, I went out in an ambulance 4 weeks ago for the first time in my life. But I got to tell you this, though, and I really want to give Louisville EMS a lot of credit here because I went out in an ambulance January 31st, first time in my life I've ever went down. and I thought I was dead. And they ended up rushing me to the hospital. I was there for 3 days. But I tell you that those folks in that ambulance were some of the most professional, best people. Some of them had been were halfway through a double shift and everything else. And I tell you what, they were great. And the people that ought to have been in the hospital, awesome, dynamite staff. So anyway,
yeah, I'll take EMTs and nurses, 100 times out of 100 times after police officer over police officers.
Oh, I agree with you. But but that's what you do. So we want to go ahead and start telling you where you can eat, what you can eat, how much you can weigh. Where does it stop? And oh, by the way, you can get a daggone Happy Meal for $1.99 or $2 at McDonald's, whatever it is these days. All right. But they think by telling you can't get a Happy Meal for $2 that they're going to be able to afford, nice, nutritious food at, say, Save-A-Lot, one of the cheapest places in Louisville. That's a lie, isn't it, Paul?
Well, Ed, all these issues that you have just mentioned, I think it begs a bigger question, and that is, who owns you? Who owns you? Okay? And I'll tell you, if you were to base your answer on the behavior of government, I tell you, it looks like government owns you. They own your body. They own your lifestyle. They own everything that you do, say.
Well, Paul, you brought up a good topic about taxes, and here's my question. As you all know, the big Democrat Party talking point from the locals to the states to the national has been about how we've got to raise the minimum wage, and we saw that Slick Willie, the rapist in chief, came into to Louisville for Daddy's Girl Grimes, and they
right.
all stood there and talked about how we got to raise the minimum wage. But Paul, if they would just cut all our damn taxes, wouldn't that be a lot better than raising the minimum wage?
Sure, it would.
As far as I'm concerned, yes. The minimum wage increase is going to have it's a domino effect. I don't care what kind of economist you are.
Yep.
You're going to make everything more expensive. Period. Everything. You're going to be like that squirrel in a squirrel cage. You will never get off that treadmill. Never.
Well, that's it. And as we know, we talked about this a little bit last night, but as we know, it's also going to cost, when you raise minimum wage, even the Congressional Budget Office, supposedly nonpartisan, right? But even the Congressional Budget Office said that we're going to lose 500,000 jobs over 2 years minimum because of higher labor costs when you raise it. And it's interesting you bring up Clinton, because I tell you, there's a story. We were talking about Chicago at the beginning of the show a little bit, mini Chicago right here in Louisville, and I was kind of going to segue into Louisville. But do you remember a guy by the name of Reynolds, Illinois Democrat Representative Mel Reynolds?
Yep.
He's a former Illinois Democrat representative. He was actually arrested Monday in Zimbabwe after police found out that he was making porno films there and had accumulated almost $25,000 in unpaid bills, overstayed his visa by 2 months. See, they're serious about their visas. We're not.
I don't know.
But what's fascinating is here, they reported that he had made more than 100 dirty movies, shot at least 1,000 new
photos. I don't
want
to see the proof, do you?
Well, no, I don't want to see the proof. But, possession of pornography in Zimbabwe is a crime. But what's really interesting here is Reynolds was once a Rhodes Scholar and very close to Reverend Jesse Jackson, still is. He resigned after 2 years in Congress because he was convicted of 12 counts of statutory rape, solicitation of child pornography, and obstruction of justice. He was found guilty in 1995 of having sex with a 16-year-old campaign worker.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a lot like Bill Clinton, except he got caught in trouble for his.
And how he got caught was because the 16-year-old he was sleeping with, too young to vote, obviously, had told her next-door neighbor about the sexual relationship, and that neighbor was a Chicago police officer. So he goes on and serves a 5-year prison sentence. Then he gets convicted again on bank fraud charges in 1997, including lying to the SEC. So he gets another 6.5 years. And guess who commuted his sentence with 3 years left to serve and let him out of jail? Bill Clinton.
Don't surprise me.
That's why that story was interesting.
Well, I mean, I was hoping we get to talk about Bill Clinton tonight. I don't know if
we
have talked about the last couple of nights or not, but I am very, very happy. We talked about Rand Paul earlier. We talked about a thing I disagree with Rand Paul about, him trying to get involved in Bevin's race where he has no damn business. But I am very happy that a couple of weeks back, Rand Paul started telling the truth about Bill Clinton. And as you know, Ed, you and I have disagreed on this show many times on Bill Clinton, because you told me all his trouble was about a blowjob. And I told you no, he was a predator. And that's what Rand Paul's been saying. He's been telling the truth about how Bill Clinton is a predator for what he did to that young girl. So I'm glad that Rand Paul told the truth about Bill Clinton. Everybody said it was all just about a BJ.
Well, no. No, I mean, essentially the only thing he was convicted of, he was convicted of perjury and should have went to jail, but, you know, we couldn't get the Congress to do their job and both sides.
He was a predator.
Of course he's a sexual predator. I've never denied that. You know, and it's fascinating because all these people are still there, and it makes it even more fascinating when you look at the case of Mel Reynolds coming all the way up, friends of Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson Jr. ended up going to jail in 2013 for basically doing a lot of the same stuff. But what's really fascinating is because Bill Clinton is here wanting to campaign on behalf of Alison Lonergan Grimes, and Alison Lonergan Grimes is sitting out there talking about how she cares so much and is standing up for women's issues, and she's using one of the biggest public sexual predators of all time to campaign beside her on women's issues.
Yep.
I don't get it.
And that doesn't think there's anything wrong with it. All those Democrats are happy to see Bill Clinton. He can do whatever he wants. And as Rand Paul says, they try to say that we, the Republican Party, I'm still in that party. They haven't found a way to kick my ass out. They say that the Republican Party is the party that preys on women. Really? Look at these guys like Bill Clinton and Jesse Jackson. I'm glad you brought up Jesse Jackson. I almost forget about Jesse Jackson because we've heard very little from him during the Obama administration. Him and Michael Moore both. I thought maybe the two of them would start a KFC franchise together or something.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I hear you. And it's just totally amazing to me that this kind of stuff continues going on. I find it fascinating. I don't know how Alison Lonergan Grimes can go out there and act like she cares about anything with this clown beside her. And interestingly enough, she was asked, can't remember which reporter asked her the question, but she was asked on a national TV morning show here a couple of weeks ago, how she would feel if Barack Obama would campaign with her. And she just got really flustered real quick and change the subject real fast. She doesn't want anything to do with Barack Obama and her campaign, and he's the sitting president.
But
so,
she wanted Bill Clinton here, so she must be a racist.
She's a racist. She believes in sexual predators. Insert name here, because that's really all you can look
for.
She
knows Bill Clinton likes girls. She knows Bill Clinton likes young girls, whereas Obama likes young boys, so there you go.
Well, there you go. So I guess she likes the heterosexual sexual predator versus the homosexual sexual predator. So that's probably it. All right, we're going to take a quick break, folks. We skipped the bottom of the hour break. Oops. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't forget, 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334. The numbers for you guys in the listening queue, don't forget the number one on your dial pad. We're breaking. We'll be right back at the Ed Springer Show. See you in a minute.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound in...
And we are back. Thanks for sticking with us, folks. You're back with the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. I am your host alongside Dale Gillespie.
Yep.
And make sure you guys tune in tomorrow night at 7, by the way. Dale has his own show called Thursday Night Truth, or TNT, at 7 o'clock right here, same time, same channel. You know, we're going in, we continue talking about Clinton, we're talking about Grimes, Obama. Why is it that this ultra-liberal left can't seem to understand the problem is, the problems that we have today were created by the people that they hold so dear? I just don't get that. Now, I will say this about Bill Clinton, though. Bill Clinton has come to Louisville twice to campaign, and both times he's come to Louisville to campaign, he actually hurt Mitch McConnell's opponent. Both times, Mitch McConnell got a surge of over 100,000 extra votes every time Clinton came to Louisville. So if you want to keep that seat, whether it's Matt Bevin or Mitch McConnell, with Bill Clinton here, we actually gave one of them 100,000 votes minimum. So that's a good thing, right?
Bill Clinton came in for.
Do what?
Who was the last candidate Bill Clinton came in for?
Well, he had come in and campaigned for Steve Beshear at one point. I'm trying to think of who the other one was.
I was thinking he only came in for female candidates. I couldn't remember him coming in for
Well, yeah, you might have a point there.
He was upset when Ashley Judd didn't run. You know he was ready to be all over that.
Yeah. But they came in 96, actually, when Clinton was running for office in 96. McConnell beat Steve Beshear by 160,000 votes. In 2008, Bill and Hillary were both here, including the day before the election, and Mitch McConnell won by 100,000 votes. So, you know, I guess it's a good thing
Democrats,
for the Republican Party.
They believe in recycling. That's all they keep doing is recycling the Clintons, the Beshears, the Fishers, the Grimes, the Lundigans. They just did the same. I mean, look at Fisher. We knew that Fisher was eventually going to get elected something. He couldn't suck
right.
So bad that they couldn't throw all their money at him and help him lie, cheat, and steal to some kind of win. And same thing with Beshear. He knew he was going to eventually win some kind of election.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. It is really interesting to see him here again in the same capacity. And I tell you, there's something else interesting, too. There's a lot of surveys going out, and this was really not surprising to me. Maybe surprising to you. And it's 2 years out from the primary election, folks, so don't get too excited yet. But according to the Huffington Post, there was a poll put out to see who Democrats and Republicans favored for the presidential race. More than 80% of people who described themselves as Democrats wanted Hillary Clinton to run. That's according to the Huffington Post. I'm not making this up. But more than 80% of self-described Democrats surveyed wanted Hillary Clinton to be their candidate, wanted her to run. 13% didn't want her to run, and 5% said they didn't know enough to decide. And here's the interesting thing. As part of this survey, 52% of people who identified themselves as independents also said they wanted her to run. Now, I don't believe those numbers, one thing. And like I said, it is 2 years out. We'll get more accurate polls the closer we get. But, you know, I don't believe that at all, especially when you're talking about 52% of independents want her to run.
You mean the Democrats weren't getting excited about Uncle Joe Biden?
Yeah, well, it's funny you should say that.
He could be the dumbest vice president we've ever had, and the media doesn't say anything about him. And again, I'm not here to defend neocon Republican vice presidents, but come on, look at everything the mainstream media, some warranted, some not, have had to say about Republican vice presidents. They never say anything bad about Joe Biden. He's a complete asshat.
Oh, he's a nut job. But I'm glad you brought him up because, you know, when you get into Joe Biden, when asked if they would like to see Joe Biden run, the same Democrats were asked to see if they'd like to see Joe Biden run. 42% of Democrats want him to run. 39% did not. That was interesting as well because he doesn't even have half the Democrats want him to run. And I tell you, they also talked about Senator Elizabeth Warren. You know, there's been a lot of people out there saying that Elizabeth Warren would make a great primary challenger, but only 22% of Democrats want Warren to run. 56% said they didn't know enough about her to decide, so that ought to tell us all we know about her. But then we get into the Republicans, Dale.
Mm-hmm.
When we get into the Republicans, there's really no clear favorite. According to this survey, 41% of Republicans surveyed said they'd like Jeb Bush to run. 27% were opposed to a Jeb Bush candidacy. But here's where we get interesting, because it wasn't that long ago that everybody said Rand Paul had no shot. Well, according to the Republican survey, second was Rand Paul. 39% of people want Rand Paul to run. 21% were opposed. The rest were basically undecided.
Well, there was a National Journal story. I don't know if you saw it. It was a National Journal story, which is like the insider in D.C. up in the District of Criminals. And this National Journal story just came out late on Tuesday. And their headline, the judge put it over on his above the fold for a while. Well, their headline from National Journal was Rand Paul is the early front runner.
Well, see, and I think that this backs it. I really do. I think that this backs it. Because a margin of error, you know, when you're asked if you want Jeb Bush to run, you get 41% versus 27%. When you ask if you want Rand Paul to run, you get 39% versus 21%. And the fact that we are this early out, I mean 2 years out, and we know that this poll is not exact because it's way too far out, it's just interesting because it does show that just a couple of months ago, everybody was saying Rand Paul at 12-13%, and now all of a sudden, look at it, 39% of Republicans wanted to run. So I think he's definitely got momentum, early momentum, if he continues doing what he's doing. And I'm not sure how this Mitch McConnell thing will work out. But
Ed,
there
I
was,
have to ask you this, since we're talking about Rand Paul and we're talking about the Republican Party, did you, I hope you were not, I don't think you would have wasted your hard-earned money on this, but did you or anybody close to you go to this big neocon orgasm that they had last Friday night downtown?
Did not.
I had to think about that event because they brought Rand Paul in. It just cracks me up that he goes along with it because obviously he wants to be president, so he's trying to keep them happy as well. You know and I know they hated Rand Paul like crazy. They wanted McConnell's fluff boy himself, and y'all can go look up fluffer and find out what I mean by that. They wanted McConnell's fluffer, Trey Grayson, to beat Rand Paul. And I've had these arguments on the social networks with the neocons. I had a bumper sticker on my car in 2009, Ed, for Rand Paul, because nobody really knew who he was when I knew this guy from standing at the machine gun shoot with him in 2006, when nobody really knew who he was. But the bottom
Rand
line
Paul.
Is that they hated this guy when he ran against Trey Grayson, and it's just funny. It's just funny to remind people. I always want to remind them of this. In 2008, Rand Paul was not allowed to speak at the Republican Party State Convention. 2 years later, at the very same hotel in Bowling Green, they were all trying to crash his victory party.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that. As a matter of fact, I still got the Rand Paul bumper sticker on my bumper. I'm a big supporter of Rand Paul. And, you know, just to let you know, too, I mean, back in 2008, when he first decided he was going to run, we were the first media outlet to introduce him to Louisville. The Ed Spritzer Show and the My View Matters radio program were the ones that introduced him to Louisville. He was on our show multiple times when he was running for office.
Yeah.
And we were able
to
get him there.
I do like to brag to people, Ed, that I can remember going to my friends at Take Back Kentucky. We'd go back to Take Back Kentucky meetings in 2004 and 2005 when we were sitting there thinking if we could only get Dr. Ron Paul's son out in Bowling Green to run for office someday.
Well, I totally agree with you, and I think he is, and I think I'll be honest with you. I've met and spoke with Rand Paul many times. We not only introduced him on our show and had him on many times back when he was running as candidate, we keep in touch in different areas and different times we can see each other, and he also did an interview with us for our show, what, a month ago, a month and a half, something like that, just a couple of months ago. So, I mean, you know, we stay up to date with that, and it's pretty good. But I tell you one thing.
I mean, I would say the audience a lot of trouble if they want to keep up on these quote-unquote front runners, and we know how they're going to go back and forth, and the merry-go-round's going to go around.
Right.
And I will tell them, I don't pull any punches. I'm not never somebody who hides my bias. You can look at the 20-some names that they've tried to throw against the wall. And the neocons, they're literally just basically grabbing shit and throwing it against the wall and seeing what sticks. And out of the 20-some names that they've thrown out there, there are only two of them out there who are worth any of your time, effort, and money. And again, I'm not saying they're perfect, but there's only two out there that any of our audience should even look at, and that's either Rand Paul or Ted Cruz.
Okay, I can't argue with you.
That's my opinion. I mean, there's going to be 20 thrown out there. There's going to be a lot of neocons. They're going to talk about Krispy Kreme Christie and another Bush and who knows who else. I guess they'll tread back out Romney. And somebody the other day said Romney was a front runner in some polls. So they're going to tread out all the old retreads, and then Krispy Kreme will be involved up there, governor of New Jersey, Krispy Kreme. And then they'll have Jeb Bush, the latest Bush, come along. And I'm just telling you, there's only two in there that I would ever vote for.
Well, and I want to tell you this, too, since you brought up Krispy Kreme. You know, it's funny because the only one who had negative in this poll that the Huffington Post put out was Chris Christie. When the Republicans were asked about Chris Christie, 41% do not want him to run, and only 31% want him to run. And a lot of that has to do with everything that's coming out now. You got the Fort Lee traffic scandal. We're finding out about the Hurricane Sandy money going to places that it shouldn't have been going to, that suffered no damage. So all of these different things, we're starting to finally find out about Chris Christie and what really goes on. So, you know, that's something to consider, too.
Because in 2008... they were saying the same thing about John McCain. He was like the Republican no Republicans wanted to vote for. In 2012, they were saying similar things to Romney. But that shows you the power of the press and the mainstream and the establishment Republicans, because they both ended up being the nominees.
Well, when Chris Christie first came onto the scene as New Jersey governor, if you remember, you know, I told you then, and I've got to take responsibility here, you know, I didn't know that much about the man, but I love the way that he stood up. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, time has shown that he's just as crooked as anybody else. He acts more like a Democrat. So, you know, I guess I'm proven wrong. But like I said, I mean, then I was enjoying him standing up and things like that. And I really thought there might be a future with him because he didn't take no garbage publicly. Now we know he's been doing all this stuff behind the scenes. It's just pathetic to me.
Yeah.
Couple of more quick stories. CNN. Yes, I'm getting there, Dale, because I know you want to hear it. But CNN is canceling Piers Morgan Live.
CNN's going to cut off their penis.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Piers Morgan. I think I gave him that nickname. I heard a lot of people calling him after that. Penis is going to go away. Maybe they'll deport his ass back to the United Kingdom. Kind of reminds me of that old Archie Bunker quote when Archie Bunker and All in the Family said, England ain't nothing but a place for fags.
Well, there you go. But yeah, you know, you are the one that turned Penis Morgan. You termed it right here on air a long time ago. But he lasted 3 years in Larry King's old slot. His ratings are consistently low. Gee, I wonder why. But CNN did confirm the news to Politico. David Carr of the New York Times was the one who first put it out there. So here we go. You know, so he's going to be gone. Bye-bye.
Did you hear what Larry King said about his replacement, Penis Morgan? Larry King said when it got to, I mean, we knew the guy wasn't going to last very long. He was either going to just basically combust on stage or going to deport his ass or something. But Larry King said, you as well just run cartoons in that hour to get better ratings.
Had not heard of that, but it doesn't surprise me much. And finally, we're going to spend a couple of minutes on this. Well, you know, no, we're not. We're not going to go into overdrive. I'm going to let you deal with it tomorrow night. Well, I was going to bring up the MSNBC and everything else. You know, we've got all these different things, but basically the White House has decided that the FCC has got to go into all the newsrooms and basically control their information that goes out to the media, that goes out to the public. You know, they want to tell the media what's important and what's not important and help them determine what to put on air, you know. I just thought it was overreach by the FCC, but I was fairly sure that's something you're going to cover tomorrow night, or you're not.
I hadn't had it in mind. I'm kind of glad you brought it up because it kind of parallels with the story that you and I haven't got to talk about. I don't know if you saw. I mean, again, my first response to that is who needs any stinking First Amendment, right? We know how to feel about that. But secondly, it kind of goes along with the fact that the United States fell 13 spots when it came to freedom of press in the world. I don't know if you saw that. We are now 47th in the world when it comes to freedom of press.
Yes, I actually did see that, and I was hoping to get to that. Didn't get quite that far. That's
why
we're
right above Romania. We're right below Romania and right above that bastion of freedom, Haiti.
Isn't that pathetic? Yeah, but yeah, that's something you can get into tomorrow night. You know, and I've got the link I'll put into the chat room real quick for this story on the FCC waiting in the newsrooms, because I find it very fascinating, and it actually ties into exactly what you're going to talk about tomorrow night, so I'm not going to touch it. In the meantime,
topic for tomorrow night. I didn't know if you were wanting me to tease it.
Go ahead and give us your topic. Well, we'll just go ahead.
I got a whole other topic for tomorrow night, and there's some people that listen to your show. They're going to be pissing their depends when they hear tomorrow night's show, because I'm bringing on bringing on an old friend of mine, Chris Diamond from the Diamond Report, out of down in Georgia. He's outside of Atlanta via Honolulu, Hawaii originally. Chris is coming back for his second or third visit on my show. And Chris Diamond and I tomorrow night are going to talk about, you guessed it, police brutality. We got a story about Oklahoma cops killing a man. We got another story about Connecticut governor wanting the citizens to turn in their guns, saying the police will take care of you. We got all kinds of guns and police corruption tomorrow night, so grab you a donut and come on in.
Grab you a donut and come on in. There you go. That's funny. I tell you, it's going to be an interesting show for sure, because I know your shows always are. In the meantime, Dale, let's get into final thoughts real quick, my friend.
I mean, the show just flew by. I guess final thoughts is, again, we talk a lot about government corruption. They don't want the felons to vote, but they want the felons to run your government. They want you to vote for the felons. So I guess that's what it comes down to. They want you to be careful of the money you take out of the bank. But you know what? If you want to get a real criminal, you don't give a criminal a bag of money. If you want them to be a successful criminal, you give them a bank, because we see the banksters, whether they're backing McConnell or Lundgren Grimes or Clinton or Obama, they're the real criminals. So again, these people are going to stand up and be their own citizens and realize that the police aren't going to come help you. They're just going to beat your ass down, or you can stand up for yourselves and be your own police officer and say death to the New World Order.
There you go. I can't argue with that. It's time ultimately, folks, to basically, in some bad terminology, I guess, shit or get out the pot. You know, everybody's heard that saying. You don't hear it on the radio very often, but it's the truth. You know, we have sat back and allowed ourselves to be victimized by our own government and a well-oiled mafia machine, in my opinion. You know, and how much more freedom do we have to give up? That's really the question. So it's time to get involved and make a difference. You've got an election year this year. Get involved, make a difference in whatever candidate you choose. But remember one thing, we're all in this together, and until we can find a way to remember that and quit this divisive leadership and quit destroying each other's homes and families, you know, we're always going to have worse instead of better. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, Dale the Truth will be here at 7 o'clock live and with his guest from Atlanta. And believe me, Chris Diamond, you want to hear. All right, so take care. I'll see you on Monday night. Don't forget our good friend Kim Moman Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Have a great week, folks. See you.